Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio and the Red Sky Radio Ranch, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Once again, a jam-packed program. Don't know where to start, but I do know where I have to start. I have to start where we left off last week with part two of our abortion program. However, I got a bunch of other things to precede the completion of that teaching. But as I have said, maybe ad nauseum for those of you who are tired of hearing it, I'm sorry, but we start with good news. We try to end with good news. In between, you just have to hang on. But I want to start with a couple of encouraging pieces that relate to the Covington Catholic students. Now, I did not cover this at all last week, and I'm not going to cover it much today because there is so much coverage in the mainstream media that takes care of most of what I would say. So I want to just point out the good things coming out of this. I mean, you know about the negative, but I want to point out the good things that are coming out of this mainstream media, the pack of high-paid liars that dominate America's media, I guess, because the mainstream does dominate it. Those pack of liars who have abused these kids at the Covington Catholic School and abuse them emotionally, have abused them publicly. But I want to start with this particular passage out of the Old Testament, which deals with Joseph referring to his brothers. He said that which you have intended for evil, God will use for good. That which you have intended for evil, God will use for good. I want to share with you the beginning of the good that is coming out of this. And there's more to come. God is using a horrible, horrible, egregious, wicked, evil media concoction of lies that they know are lies to blast anybody and everybody that has any affiliation whatsoever with a pro-life movement and with Donald Trump. And if you are at a March for Life rally, a pro-life rally in Washington, D.C., with a Make America Great Again Trump hat, you are a double target. You're a double target in all sorts from all sorts of people, from the hags that at the Women's March who hate anybody who interferes with them killing innocent unborn human life, to those who just simply are foaming at the mouth for 2 years now over Trump's election, the pernicious evil that has manifested in the United States is beyond belief. You say, you know, Rob, could you get on to the good news, please? Okay. Here we are. Number one, a journalist, and I use that term loosely, journalists so-called, who writes for some outfit, which I've never heard of, called Vulture, and he works for INE Entertainment, has been fired by the name, his name is Eric Abriss, because he wrote, quote, "I don't know what it says about me, but I've truly lost the ability to articulate the hysterical rage." What's interesting, he calls himself hysterical. "Rage, nausea, and heartache that the Covington Catholic students situation makes me feel. I just want these people to die. Simple as that. Every single one of them and their parents." End quote. How many times have we heard from these leftist weenies who want to kill everybody on the right, who want to kill the pro-life people? They're not satisfied with killing innocent unborn children in the womb. Now they want to kill everybody who disagrees with them that made it out of the womb alive. I mean, I will tell you, from Kathy Griffin right on down the line, the Democrats are the party of death. They're the culture of death, and it's becoming increasingly the culture of this United States, which will be sorely and severely judged, as I've said many times, like Israel, from the reign of Manasseh, the culminating point of God's fury being the shedding of much innocent blood. So this guy got canned. He got fired. Finally, somebody said, we can't have somebody like this on our staff. You can spout all the venom, apparently, you want, but you can't be calling for the death of people who've done nothing wrong except express their First Amendment rights. But that's what the Democrats do. They hate people who have the truth. They don't have it, and they hate the people who have it. And if they can't shut them up, apparently, as a matter of next resort, is kill them. Good news story number two. The Covington kids, as I will call them, God bless these guys, are going to the White House. Donald Trump knows where he is spiritually, I don't know, but he seems to recognize righteousness when he sees it. He seems to have a feel for that which is good, for that which is proper, for that which is sanguine even. Let's throw that word in there, right? So Nicholas Sandman, who is the student who got berated in these lying videos, which we know that the hecklers were actually a bunch of blacks that were heckling these white kids. That's a fact. It's a fact. That's on the video. Don't write me and say, hey, that's racial, but that's a fact. And this guy, the Indian guy, who actually has been in and out of prison, and he's been on drugs and all the whole thing that they, the lies that they created, the president has recognized them as lies, recognized these kids from Covington as the victims of a multi-billion dollar bibliophobic, Christophobic, God-hating media establishment. So Nicholas Sandman, you know what was David Hogg, or Hogg, the emperor wannabe, the 17-year-old kid with no brains but lots of emotion from the Parkland shooting? He's a chump. He has now been finally accepted to Harvard because they like kids who actually are anti-righteousness, apparently, at Harvard or Yale, wherever he's going. Doesn't make any difference. They're both average schools. Sorry, folks. They're average schools. Nicholas Sandman is going to rise up to a point where people are going to say, who the heck is David Hogg or Hogg? Well, Trump has invited him to the White House. Sandman said, quote, "The president wants to send a plane down to get us," end quote. I will tell you, this is a great use of taxpayer money. I think so. Whole lot better than the $200,000 that we spent sending Nancy Pelosi and her family around the world. $200,000 is what we recently spent for her to travel her sorry butt around the world. Good news story number three. We have people lining up. We have good lawyers. No, folks, that is not an oxymoron. There are a few of us out there. Maybe I'm not as good as I should be in the practice of my trade, but I do try to practice righteousness in my trade. There are some of us good lawyers in that sense out there. One of them, stepping forward by the name of Robert Barnes, a trial lawyer based out of Los Angeles, and said, I will represent these kids for free. Free. To sue the New York Slimes for the libel, the slander. This is a winnable case. This is, who knows, 100, 200 million. I don't care if they put the New York Slimes out of business. I'm going to tell you, if you have a puppy that has not yet house trained, even a puppy going around peeing deserves a better newspaper to pee on than the New York Times. And other lawyers are lining up behind them to work for free. People are giving money. There's a GoFundMe page to fund the attack of this God-hating, Bible-hating, pro-abortion, death-loving newspaper, otherwise called the New York Times. Now, Barnes tweeted to Haberman, who's the writer for the Times, who just bashed the daylights out of these kids, and said, look, you've got to withdraw this. But he went on to say, I will happily work this case for free. Evil needs to be stopped. Whatever I can do, I am all in, added another lawyer. I think it's time to get a group together that does pro bono work for the pro-life work when media slanders someone innocent. We must stop this madness. Another one writes, someone set up a GoFundMe page. I'll be the first check in. Another follower writes, this is, without hyperbole, evil. Time for us patriots to take back the narrative from the mainstream media Democrat liars and present the truth. Thank you to the lawyers and such others offering services and funds. There you go. You see, what Satan intends for evil, God can use for good. Sandman's the one who should get the free trip to college, not David Hogg. And God will bless him wherever he goes. He has stood up for truth. He has withstood what had to be a temptation to lash back at any of the parties that are coming after him. There are multiple parties. They're all over the place. People in Hollywood calling for the death of him. I mean, it is just horrible. So why are we there? So what is it that, all right, so you got the New York Slimes libeling the Covington school kids. But this week, the horror of abortion went to a new depth. And guess what? What a coinky dink. It comes out of the same godless state, the state of New York, which I am now, I'm not going to call, nobody's going to listen to me in this respect, but I'm going to tell you, I officially, as of 2 days ago, have a boycott against the state of New York. Unless God makes it so unbelievably clear that I have to go there, unless there is some church or civic organization that invites me to go there to speak that must be spoken, words that have to be shared in the lion's den, in that culture of death, in that deep, deep, dark, despicable den of depravity, otherwise known as New York City, I am not going. I have a personal boycott against the city. And sadly to say, there are a lot of good people in upstate New York. They're just well overwhelmed by the Democrats scurrying around like starved rats looking for the next public payout in New York City. But what the state of New York did this week is beyond the pale. The womb, I have said before, is one of the two most dangerous places to be in California. The other place being a young child stuck in a government school in California. The womb is now the most dangerous place for a child to be in New York. They have named, euphemistically, the Reproductive Health Act, an act that now sanctions the execution of the innocent unborn right up to the point of birth. That's right. You can kill them just as they're getting ready to say hello to the world. You can say goodbye to your kid, and there's Mario or Cuomo with a big grin on his face signing the legislation as he's surrounded by a bunch of butchers from Baghdad who are, I'm sorry, no, I guess that would be fine. Actually, I don't know that Baghdad has butchers. That was a misspeak. A bunch of butchering barbarians. That's really what I meant to say. A pack of butchering barbarians surrounding Cuomo as he signs the death to all bill that are in the womb. And does it stop there? No. The pinnacle, the peak of evil in New York City, being the new World Trade Center, is all lit up to celebrate the death of the unborn. Other buildings are lit up in New York City. Look, New York World Trade Center, you may be coming down again, not because of anything I advocate, not because of anything I encourage, but because of the judgment of God is ready to strike you again. Because it doesn't end there. This is how sick, sad, and sorry of sinners the state of New York, as represented by New York City, has become. Because that's not where the bill ends. The bill also allows for babies who have survived a failed abortion, i.e. the baby does get to greet the world, but the mother doesn't want the child. The bill allows the child to rot and die there in the alleged hospital, the so-called hospital, or the clinic. Folks, I'm not kidding. Animals in New York will have better treatment than babies in the womb or babies who are born alive from a failed abortion. You get to let them die. You'll end up in the hooskow, the jail, the big house, up the river if you mistreated your cow or you decided to let your horse starve. You can go to prison, but not in old New York, New York. Yeah, I guess they had it their way until God comes and judges that city again for its preposterous, egregious, outrageous, manifest sin, fist in the face of God. I'm not going there unless I have an opportunity to go and preach from the rooftops a message how this state needs to repent. Now, listen to this. From another New Yorker. Quote, "This is only the beginning of the protections that we will have for our women." End quote. Well, I mean, sorry, the quote goes on, but I'm stopping the quote here. "This is only the beginning of the protections that we will have for our women." The author of that is State Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins, Democrat, Democrat from hell. No, I'm sorry, from Yonkers. "The protections we will have for our women." Hey, Andrea, baby, I want to tell you something. Half, you want to protect the women? Half of the ones you are executing in the womb are women. And you're for your protection for women? When you called out a death sentence for 50% of everybody who's in the womb, that's a protection for women. How about a protection? The women don't need protection that are outside of the womb. Well, I guess they do. Those female babies that have survived the abortion and are alive, I guess they need protection. Are you going to protect them, Andrea? You butcher, you barbarian butcher. That's what you are. Gosh, says this bill has removed abortion from the definition of homicide. Opponents say that this limits prosecutors when they look to charge individuals who harm a woman's unborn child in a domestic violence case or otherwise. Why did I quote that? Because a woman who actually wants the baby, if she is murdered or she is attacked and the baby is damaged, this comes right out of scripture. I read it last week. I think I read this scriptural passage last week, that if a child is harmed in the womb, and so that the child then is born dead or suffers injury, you can sue the attacker. That is straight out of the Bible. That is God speaking to something that he doesn't consider to be casual, and he's not saying flippantly. It is important because God chooses life for the innocent, death for the guilty, life for the innocent. But no longer in New York. There is no cause of action on behalf of the child who is dead in the womb because of some drunk driver hit a mother who's on her way to the hospital to have a baby that she wants. Not an abortion. There is no cause of action anymore for the innocent who are dead in the womb, no matter how they die. Because of a paid assassin, the butchers, the barbarian butchers who are paid assassins who kill the kids, or the ones who negligently or intentionally kill the mother for other reasons and the baby is born dead. And they call this the reproductive health care. You know, this sounds like something out of World War II Germany, where all the innocent are killed and you call it health care? Reproductive? You haven't reproduced anything, you lying butchers of barbaria. Let's say that. Will you substitute barbaria? I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere around New York City. This is just so infuriating. This is what Cuomo had to say a few years ago about pro-lifers have no place in the state. So all you people that are listening in New York, get the heck out of that state. Leave for some place, inundate New Hampshire or some place where your vote could turn that state red and provide a true, oh my gosh, God just gave me this. This is an epiphany. This is a revelation. You need to go to a nearby state, overwhelm the state's legislature with pro-life people and set up sanctuary cities for the unborn. Yeah, that's the ticket. Sanctuary cities for the unborn, where there are no killing machines. There are no death factories. You have no, you just zone them out of business like they try to zone out Bible clubs and churches and gun shops. You zone them out of business. You cannot have an abortion mill in this town. Nope, not this town. Pick the town. Go take over the towns, get out of New York, leave and provide sanctuary for the unborn in those cities. Can they get up and go someplace else? Yeah, they can. That's on them. But you do what you can. Sanctuary cities for the unborn. Gosh, I love it. Thank you, God. Here's Cuomo. So who are these people, he said in a radio interview recently, complaining about opposition to his anti-Second Amendment bill. He said, are they these extreme conservatives who are right-to-life people? Pro-assault weapon, anti-gay, is that who they are? Because if that's who they are, and they're the extreme conservatives, they have no place in the state of New York, because that's not who New Yorkers are. Boy, thank you, Jesus, I'm not a New Yorker, if that's what New Yorkers are. Is that because there's no place for you folks, the extreme conservatives who are right to life? There's, understand this. What he's saying is there is no place in New York City, in the state of New York, but he means specifically New York City, no place if you actually are there and believe in the innocence and the need for protecting the innocent unborn human life. If you believe that you have the right to protect yourself, oh, Cuomo, you bozo, you can call it an assault weapon. You would, if the last thing in New York City was a pea shooter, he'd call it an assault pea shooter. That's how stupid, maniacal, evil, and wicked the left is. Oh, an anti-gay. Well, what does Cuomo rhyme with? Well, anyway, let's just move on. And I'm going to move on to Texas. We're still on this abortion thing. There's an organization out of Minnesota that makes sure that the paid assassins that are too numerous in states like New York and California have opportunities, paid trips to go to states where they actually can't get enough paid assassins to execute the innocent unborn in the womb. They bring them in to do the job so that they can recreate the killing fields in states like Oklahoma, Texas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, you name it. All the red states who understand the sanctity of innocent human life in the womb. So here's one of these butchering, these paid assassins, proud to do her job. She comes out of California. She said, she had the audacity to say, because only 5% of the counties in California don't have paid killers, well, she calls them abortionists, but I'm substituting in my language here, these paid assassins, because only 5% of the counties don't have those paid assassins, she needs to go to states where there aren't enough paid killers, such as Texas, where 43% of the counties have no butcher clinics. They have, and I think Mississippi is down to one town that runs a butcher factory for babies. Only one. Tennessee is they got them in Memphis, a few in Nashville. They've gotten rid of them in Chattanooga. She said, "This is unbelievable." She says, "I am not much use in California." That's right. There's too many of us doing the killing in California. They don't need me. There are several states that have only one abortion clinic. I can't think who else besides Mississippi. Texas has less than 20. California has 100, has more than 150 killing factories. That's right. The states, they say, most in need of abortion doctors are Arizona, Florida, Kansas, Michigan, and Texas. God bless you, Arizona, Florida, Kansas, Michigan, and Texas, that you can't get enough killers in those states, but then you have to bring in executioners from another state. Oh, and the states that have a super abundance of paid killers who are doing the exporting, Maryland, New York, Oregon, Washington, and California. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. This is abortion teaching part two. I actually haven't gotten to the teaching part because these pro-abort, pro-death stories have just blown up this last week with New York trying to grease and facilitate its slide into the abyss. But I was following up with this paid assassin who tours the country finding innocent unborn children in the womb to kill out of California. I had mentioned before the break that the states that need, that are in desperate need of paid killers are Arizona, Florida, Kansas, Michigan, and Texas. Five red states in the last election because they understand righteousness a bit more than in the whacked out states of New York and California. But these are the states where the physicians, loosely so-called, who specialize in the death of the unborn, those paid assassins who populate the following five states are so numerous that they have begun to export their culture of death. And that is Maryland, blue state, really blue. New York, ridiculously blue. Oregon, ridiculously blue. Washington, blue. And California, so stinking blue, it's ridiculous. This woman, whose name I'm not going to give out, is proud of the fact that she was able to perform 50 abortions in 60 hours. So when I say she's a killing machine, I'm not exaggerating. I am not exaggerating at all. Adolf Hitler probably was short on executioners. My guess is they had to travel a circuit to perform their dirty, dastardly, dark, devilish, and demonic deeds. And so here we go. And do we have that starting to invade Arizona? Yeah, I mean, goodness sakes, the state voted in Kristen Sinema, who loves abortion, loves everything queer, loves it. She's the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ poster child. Sinema, which is an interesting name, kind of a conflation of two words, sin and enema. But nonetheless, let's move on. And the LA Times came out now and backed up. The LA Times put out this article with glowing pride that California is exporting abortionists. They're paid killers. Well, we talked last week about the Women's March and the March for Life. You know what? I don't want to go too deeply into this because we got to move on. However, the huge March for Life with 100,000 wasn't covered by the three major networks virtually at all. But much ballyhoo made about the Women's March instead, which just had a relatively few thousand disgruntled pack of hags who were ticked off, still continuing to tell people to keep away from their vagina as though any mindful male would have no thought of doing so. Okay, one thing I want to slip in here, and we'll get on to the rest of it. I just got to fit this in. Gillette, I don't know if you saw the ad about Gillette, which they are backing what they call toxic masculinity. But what the ad is really about is saying we need to get boys to quit being boys and start being nicer in all ways. The ad stinks to high heaven. It's my other boycott. I am now going to look at every shaving cream thing I buy. I want to make sure not only is it not Gillette, but I want to make sure it's not made by Gillette, that the blades are not, my razor blades are not made by Gillette, because I am boycotting Gillette, point number one. Point number two, I really would sort of like to see a rock group emerge with 3, 4, 5 guys, and I would like to see them adopt the name. I think this is a great name for a new rock group called Toxic Masculinity. Oh, love it. Okay. Getting back to where we were, we don't even have time for this pastor who was fired for saying homosexuality is a sin. Nothing new there. Get back to our abortion verses and so forth. Where we left off last week, I need to try to wrap up and complete the teaching here. We left off with where I'd indicated that Roe v. Wade was supported legally only by the Dred Scott decision, which said that blacks were property. You can kill them. You can kill your baby if they're property. Go ahead and kill them. Then the fact that the DNA testing by itself reveals the fact that it is not part of the woman's body. Now, we have those who say that you can't be pro-life if you support capital punishment. I made the reference there that the real contradiction is not those who are against the death penalty, I'm sorry, who are for the death penalty, but then want to protect the unborn, because there's nothing wrong with the execution under appropriate circumstances of guilty life and the protection of innocent life. The ones who are hypocritical, screwed up, and totally upside down on the issue are those who say you should protect the guilty, i.e. eliminate capital punishment, but go ahead and slaughter your innocent unborn child in the womb. Now, you might say, do I have a biblical basis for that? Yes, I do. Write this down. I'm telling you, you got to write this passage down. This is one of these passages that you do not hear preached in any church, well, frankly, other than the church that I used to go to, because I used to speak to it frequently. And here you go, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 19. And don't give me that, that's Old Testament hogwash. This is not Old Testament. This is simply the Word of God. God speaking, and will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die? Just stop here for a second. So what we got are there are paid assassins. These are our hired killers. These are our barbarian butchers who, for handfuls of barley and pieces of bread, because they're getting paid, have polluted the land because they are slaying souls that should not die. So let me start this passage again from the beginning so that you will get the context for the second half of this passage. Will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live? Wow, there you go. That is my point. The pro-death squads are so upside down morally. There is, God is saying, there are those who should die, and you're keeping them alive. And you have those souls that you are slaying that should be alive, and you're doing it for money. Gosh, memorize this verse and take it with you. Get a t-shirt that has it on there. Do something. Get the word out. Well, I told you before about the situation that I had with my legal secretaries who were bothered by the fact that I was pro-life in a law office where I was the only one who was outspokenly pro-life. I don't know if anybody else was, but if they were, they didn't have the guts to be so. Who wanted to know why are you pro-life? Give us to us. I said, I answer that question. I said, I'll answer your question with a question, but I will answer your question if you answer my question. I got this from Jesus. I got it on good authority because that's what he did. Wanted to know by what power does he perform these miracles? And he said, well, I'll tell you, and I'll answer that question if you tell me the baptism of John, was it of God or was it of men? So that's where I got the idea. Go to the Bible, ask for ideas. You'll get them. I said, with what part of this statement do you agree? Abortion is the intentional killing of innocent, unborn human life. So they went, they had their little parlay, they little talked it over. They said, well, we're not sure that it's life. And I said, well, all of science would indict you for that statement. Plus the fact that if it's not life, why do you have to kill it? And they go, okay. Well, they went back and thought the thing over. These weren't dumb women. They're just blind women. They came back, and then with that argument after argument, they finally came back and they said, we're not sure that the child is innocent. I was flabbergasted, and I said, well, why would you say that? And they said, because we don't know but what that child didn't commit a horrible crime in a previous life, to which I had to choke back my my gag and simply responded with, well, as far as I understand the Constitution, I don't see in there the right to be able to execute people for crimes allegedly committed in a prior life. And with that, it ended. So what does the Bible say about abortion? Well, life is precious. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. I've got scriptures which I have not gotten up on the website, but if you want to see the 20 pro-life verses and six verses that deal with healing for the woman and the man and anybody else who's been involved in encouraging it, I'm going to respond to your email if you write me at info@redskyradio.net. I will send you those passages, and you take them with you. You keep them in your Bible. Keep them handy, because there's a lot of churches that will not have you if you are really truly pro-life. But just take the story of Mary and Elizabeth in Luke. John leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. So we got a leaping baby boy inside the womb here, John. Consider this. The Greek word used to describe John in the womb is brephos. Brephos. B-R-E-P-H-O-S. Brephos. For John, it is the same Greek word used in the very next chapter describing Jesus as a youth. No distinction. In the Old Testament, the word is yeled, Y-E-L-E-D. So let me ask you, if it's okay to abort anyone, it presumably would have been okay to abort John. Well, let me ask you this question. I gave a talk in Colorado. This kid said it changed his whole viewpoint on abortion, and to this day, he's an advocate for pro-life causes. Because I said, imagine for a second that there's a 15-year-old girl or thereabouts, 14, whatever. She's pregnant, she's not married, and she wanders into a planned parenthood clinic. What kind of advice is she going to get? Abort, 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 abort. It's the only five-letter word they really know. Now let's change the facts just a little bit. Suppose this abortion clinic was 2,000 years ago and it's in Jerusalem. But Planned Parenthood's run it. Abort, 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 abort. Well, great. You just aborted Jesus. You just aborted John the Baptist under your so-called, it's my right, keep your hands off my vagina nonsense. I will never forget the young gal who was in the front row, otherwise not paying attention to anything I was saying, filing her nails, I think. But when I said, congratulations, you just aborted Jesus, she looked at me and she just said, well, that sucks. That was interesting. I was a high school junior. That was her response. To which I sort of had to say, not the way I would express it, but I pretty much had to say, amen. Glad you got it, girl. It does. If it's all right to abort anybody, then it's all right to abort everybody. Think about that. Galatians 1:15, God separated me from my mother's womb. See, the life is precious in the womb. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Look, even a fifth grader, a five-year-old, kindergarten, show that child an ultrasound and ask the child what it is. Do you think they're going to say, oh, mommy, I think that's just some kind of piece of your body. I think it's a product of conception. No, the kid's going to say, it's a baby. My goodness sakes, Genesis 25, 21 through 23. You know that, I can't read all these, folks. Ephesians 1:4, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wait a second. If we're known to God before the foundation of the world, aren't we known by him in the womb? Duh. Job 10:8, your hands have made me and fashion me in an intricate unity. Job speaking about in the womb. Psalm 100, it is the Lord who made us. Psalm 127:3, children are a heritage from the Lord, a fruit of the womb is a reward. There is no time that a child isn't a gift. You may not think so at the time, but ask the child if he's a gift to himself. You can't be a gift only from the womb and then and not before. A gift doesn't only become a present just because it's wrapped. It may still be a present. Psalm 139, 13 to 16, I've been fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb. Isaiah 44, the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb. Isaiah 49, 5, the Lord formed me in the womb to be his servant. Jeremiah 1, 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Before you were born, God sanctified him. Ecclesiastes 11, 5, do you know how the bones grow in the womb of who? Of her who is with child? Judges, Samson. Samson is in the womb and God tells his mother to not drink any wine, to not have fruit of the vine, to not eat unclean food because the child was sanctified in the womb. Now let's get to the abortionists, the killers, the paid assassins. Here's what's up for you guys and gals. Psalm 10:8, in the secret places, the wicked murder the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. From Proverbs, God hates the hands of those who shed innocent blood. You see, people, men, women everywhere, need to know that abortion is sin. And without knowing that it's sin, with trying to console women so much that you skip past the sin portion and the men, you have denied the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do the work. All of society attempts to prevent this conviction, lest society become convicted also. But the woman knows it. The guy knows it. Even the abortionists, a lot of them know it. Call it conviction, call it guilt, call it post-abortion syndrome. The lament in the heart, and hear this, is the same as that of David when he could no longer contain his guilt, as set forth in Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5, where he said, quote, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For by day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality turned into the drought of summer until I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. You see, you want to be haunted all the way till death? I have a former girlfriend from a long time ago. Long after we split up, she had several abortions, ended up dying of cervical cancer. That's one of the byproducts of sin, particularly when it's not confessed. Confess it. You will never be relieved until you confess the sin, and I'm talking to the guys that are involved too. Because healing and forgiveness is there. God is a God of love, and his mercy endures forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, from Psalm 103. He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, understand this, that the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we were formed. He knows what we are from dust. And he's not expecting us to live a sinless life from get-go. But he does expect that we will confess our sin when it has become known to us. Micah says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives transgression? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Proverbs 28, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Romans 8:21, I love this, take note, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now get this, if you have had an abortion, or you're the guy who made your wife or girlfriend get an abortion, or paid for the abortion, coerced them. You're responsible in every way as the woman is. You have no recourse either but confession of the sin. But understand that in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. So that if you confess that sin, he will forgive you of it. He does that. He's looking for the opportunity to forgive. This is what he does. He's a God who does justice, because he has to, according to Micah, but he loves mercy. He loves mercy, but he does justice. If you force God to do justice, he will do it. But he's desirous of granting mercy. And I want to just conclude with this. I am, as horrible as it is in the United States, and those of you who are in countries that have just passed abortion laws like Ireland, I hope you will take this to heart. I hope you will get the podcast for this or listen to the program on redskyradio.net or get the podcast from iTunes or from darkskyradio.com. You can get the podcast different ways. Share this with your brothers and sisters in those countries where you have embarked on this, because I want to tell you what you have heard at the beginning of this program about what is happening in this country is coming to a city and a country near you unless you stop that train before it picks up speed. Once it picks up speed like we have in the United States, it's hard to slow it down, and you cannot stop it until you slow it down, and until you stop it, you can't turn it around. Get going. Get active. Become the conscience of your town, your borough, your country. Because there is a time coming. If God should tarry, if Jesus should not return soon, there will come a time, and I promise you, that we will look back on abortion with all the shame face and embarrassment that we now look back upon slavery. It's coming around. It absolutely will. But we're going to pay the price if it does. For the time that it doesn't come around, we will pay the price. And last, but certainly not least, and this is so important. And now I am speaking again to the woman who's had an abortion or abortions, to the man who's been involved in it, whether you just were the one who impregnated the woman, or whether you are one who is a partner of that woman in some fashion, whether it's boyfriend, spouse, what have you. You paid it. You encouraged it. You are a party. You have aided and abetted the murder of an innocent unborn child. Unless you repent, unless you give your heart to the Lord, you will not see that child again. The flip side of this is, if you do repent, you will see that child again. The child is in heaven. Pro-aborts say, what's the problem with killing them? They go to heaven. Well, then just kill your one-year-old, because that will go to heaven. Kill your two-year-old. They're not to the age of accountability yet. Like David, when the baby boy died because of his sin with Bathsheba, the adultery and the murder of her husband Uriah, he said, the boy will not come back to me, but I shall go to him someday. Let these words sink deeply into your heart. If you have any contrition and guilt at all, let it be that which moves you to a confession of the sin to the Lord. Confess that sin. Because if you do have that in your heart and you do make that confession, you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will see someday the child you killed. But it will be without condemnation. It will be without conviction. It will be without guilt. I don't know what that looks like on the other side. I don't know how heaven arranges, but I'm sure it's prearranged, those meetings, between whether it's that or whether it's a person who killed a Christian who went to heaven as a result of a murder, and that guy in prison ends up getting saved. I've met many of those in prison ministry. They will someday see the person they murdered. And you know what? There will be complete forgiveness. There will not be a presence of animosity, hatred, or anything. They will embrace each other, however that looks, in each other's arms. There will be love and pure love, for that which is all sin will have entirely passed away. Take this heart, folks. I love this listening audience. And I give this hard message because I love you. This is Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle world. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.